This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Damn these Biloxi blues. It happens every night. And I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
Definitely have not.
Summer heat never treats me kind. It leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you at another time.
Sing it.
This highway does not know my name, and I don't care, no.
No.
Don't care. Headed my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare.
Right to the hook right here.
Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Low budget. Live, not so freaking live. This is the podcast for Monday, December the 13th, 2021. Hope all of you are doing well out there, you bunch of low lifers. And if you are new to the program and you're wondering why you just got called a low lifer, well, it's what the listeners, the faithful listeners of this fishing slash everything else podcast, call themselves the lowlifer. So welcome one and all. That is a song I wrote called Biloxi Blues. And man, I'm dragging a little bit today because of Biloxi Blues. Y'all know I've been talking about it on here for the last couple weeks. And we finally got to do the thing last night at the Mule House in Columbia, Tennessee. Such a beautiful, beautiful venue. Got to meet the owner last night, Blair Garner. Blair is a radio host. Some of y'all probably know him out there. He's been all over the country doing the country radio thing, but he started this beautiful venue, man. It's the nicest. You know, I've been fortunate to play a lot of places over the years, and I've been fortunate to go see a lot of cool concerts over the years as well, just as a fan of music too. And it's in my top five. I mean, it's an incredible, incredible place. So, thanks to them for having us out. Thanks to the Vagabonds for asking us to be a part of the show. And thanks to everybody that came out. We had a great time. But Biloxi Blues, of course, the full band back together on stage again. And we threw down some Biloxi Blues along with a bunch of other originals. And it was a very, very good time. It was good for the soul, man. We had a short set. But music is something that, obviously, if you listen to this podcast, you know is very important to me in life. My entire history, you know, as far as things I've been passionate about, songwriting and fishing since I was a kid, man. And so it's so cool to get to to get to do both, you know, and, you know, I don't get to play as much as I used to. That's a young man's game, chasing that neon rainbow around. But we like to throw down when we can, and last night was an awesome experience with those guys. The Vagabonds are just great, so good live, and just a really cool time. Got to take the kids backstage. My Ryder D, my 10-year-old, says, "Dad, this was on my bucket list, getting to go backstage at a concert." So it's very cool. Speaking of music, I'm just going to throw this teaser in there. Next week's podcast, we're having a musician on that loves bass fishing but plays in one of the biggest bands on the Red Dirt scene in Red Dirt Country, and I'm so freaking pumped. I can't express that, but that'll be the week of Christmas episode, and that'll be my Christmas gift to myself and to anybody that likes music. We're going to talk fishing. We're going to talk a lot of things, and I cannot wait for that. So you're not going to want to miss next week if you like it at all, if you're into music. I'll just tell you that. I don't want to say who, and I don't want to say what band, but I'll just say the timing of this is it's just amazing. It's amazing. So I'll tell more about it next week and who helped me put it together. But just a little tease. Wanted to start this week also by saying thoughts and prayers to all the victims of the tornadoes. When you live where I do, southern middle Tennessee, we are no strangers to terrible storms. Our area, for whatever reason, majority of my life has been really, a magnet. And I've seen them. I have had to ride a lot of them out. I have had friends and family that have been, impacted by tornadoes over the years. And it's never something that you want to turn on the news and see. And from Arkansas to Missouri to Kentucky, it's just terrible. It's terrible. Up around the Kentucky Lake area, I've got some friends up there I've been talking to. No water, no power. A lot of folks lost their lives. So, just terrible, terrible, terrible night there Friday night this past week. So keep all those folks. I mean, it's just when they hit at night, it's always scary. They're obviously terrifying anytime, but at night it's just the worst. And we had a doozy of a week with storms. I woke up on Monday. I had a TH Marine sales meeting over in Gunnersville, Alabama. I had to get over there. And we woke up to the tornado warning, and literally on the radio, them calling out basically my address. And being like, yeah, it's on the ground and coming right here, man. I don't have a basement or a storm shelter, which we should have a storm shelter here in this neck of the woods, to say the least. But we had to get under the stairwell, and it was an intense about 10 or 15 minutes. It's a crazy way. You didn't need any caffeine, no Red Bull or coffee needed Monday morning here at the Duncan household, to say the least. But keep all those folks in your thoughts. That's for sure. It's just, man, when we've had bad ones here, we had an F5 here when I was a kid, 12, 13 years old. Man, I'll never forget what those storms do and how they impact folks. So I always hate to see that. I love living in the South, but obviously they can pop up anywhere, and they do. But, man, this Tennessee Valley area, and then, of course, up there, Arkansas, Missouri, Kentucky, where they got it, they get it too. They definitely get it. And it seems like anytime we have them in December, it's just a lot worse. And it had that ominous feel, man. Friday night, it was like 74 degrees at 10 o'clock at my house. And I was like, oh boy, batting down the hatches. And we just got some straight line winds. We were blessed to not have a tornado on the ground here. Had a watch and no warnings or anything on Friday night. So, all right, just wanted to express that, because no bueno, man, no bueno. All right, let's jump in this thing. Let's get these sponsors in here that make all this possible. We sure appreciate the sponsors of Low Budget Live and the Traveling Circus and all things Luke Duncan Enterprises. That's got a ring to it. It's got a ring to it. First and foremost, StarTron. kicking ethanol in the teeth in your chainsaw and your weed eater, but more importantly, in your side-by-side, your four-wheeler this time of year. But when you park that bass boat, you better drop you a dab in the tank. This bottle will treat 256 gallons of gas. Don't worry about buying that ethanol-free gas and paying too much. We're already paying too much at the pump. Put that old regular in there. Drop you some Startron in the tank. It will kick ethanol in the teeth, keep it from gumming up the works. And if you store that boat for longer than 3 weeks, you're going to want to get some Startron in that tank. We appreciate Startron bringing you Low Budget Live week after week after week. Sims Fishing Products, the makers of quality outdoor gear. Some good looking stuff, man. Some good looking, you know. You can get your rain suit at Sims. You can get your sun protection at Sims. You can also get some good-looking stuff to take your wife out on a date. The Triple Threat has really appreciated the fact that Sims has helped me up my fashion game, because normally I wear sweatpants, maybe some joggers, and a hoodie this time of year. That is absolutely what I'm rocking all the time. But with Sims, I've got some nice button-up shirts now. Oh, me. So I appreciate the folks at Sims for, helping me out with the Triple Threat. I am here to remind all of you lowlifers, you get one life, fish it well. Pro Guy Batteries, it is Christmas time. Get your daddy some batteries. Get your brother some batteries. Get yourself. Treat yourself. Just don't put them in a stocking unless it's the lithiums. Unless it's the lithiums, because they weigh half of what the AGMs weigh. They might not break the mantle. You're going to want to use code LBL10 at checkout to get yourself a discount. And last but not least, hang the banner right here. Express Boats, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Building excitement since 1966, and the official boat of Low Budget Live and the Traveling Circus. We appreciate those guys out there. Amazing people. Building an amazing product. I have got the 2022 ship ordered. It's going to have that Yamaha show on it again, the new show, new and improved show. Cannot wait. That motor was bulletproof for me this year, and can't wait to run it. The new one just looks mean, man. Looks mean, but be getting that boat late spring. But the X21 Pro with the C-Deck, love the boat. Going to have a new walkthrough video coming out here in the next couple of weeks. I'm going to kind of show you. I get questions about the wear and tear. You know, what's the C-Deck look like? I've got, 100 hours or so on the motor. Spent a lot of time on the boat this year. Just going to, do an honest review on how it's holding up for me. That's what the lowlifers like to see. So Express Boats, we appreciate them bringing you Low Budget Life. All right, here we go. Got a good buddy of mine coming on today, and one hell of a fisherman. We're going to get to him just here in a minute or two, but wanted to say congratulations to Shane Powell for winning that Bassmaster Team Championship. That's a cool event, representing the Alabama Bass Trail down there. But Shane Powell, former, little trivia, if you haven't seen it online yet, but former team tournament partner down at Auburn University with the one and only some dude named Jordan Lee. I've always heard Shane, he's a monster, man. He's a monster. Catches him up, you follows his home lake, but well overdue for something like this. But so cool to me, the story, Matt and Jordan, when Jordan makes the classic through college, Shane was his partner, and Jordan makes it, then Matt makes it. Shane never got a chance to make the classic years ago. Now, getting to go to the Bassmaster Classic, and I promise you, he'll have something to say about it while he's over there. Shane is, his reputation precedes him. He's an animal on the water, man. He's a fish catcher. So congrats to Shane Powell and Bassmaster hosting that event. I think it's really cool that they give weekend anglers an opportunity to make the classic through that team format. And I always think it is like the college bracket to me too, when they win the team deal. Hey, congratulations, here's your trophy. Yeah. And then they're like, now we're enemies. And you got to fish against your buddies. Jordan Wiggins won it last year. Very cool, man. ABT showing out. Alabama Bass Trail, without question, just full of bass catching folks. And it's one of the toughest trails in the country, man. If you can perform there, you can go get you a dose at about any level. I'm telling you, if you can be consistent, there's so many just absolute freaks of nature in that in those fields. And speaking of, I'm not a freak of nature, nowhere close. I'm hoping that my partner can pull us out. But me and little Trey Swindle, the LOB himself, will be fishing the Alabama Bass Trail Top 100s next year. We start in about 3 weeks, as a matter of fact. Very cool trail Miss Kay Donaldson puts on there. ABT 100s, they allow pros to fish, weekend anglers, guides, whoever. One-day events, $25,000 first place on a Saturday. Come on. Come on. You get fortunate, you have a good day, you beat 99 incredible fishermen, guess what? $25K. That's a heck of a payday, man, for a Saturday tournament. Entry fees are not that bad. I think it's $1,000 an event, so $500 a man per tournament. Dude, that's chump change to fish for that kind of money on a fine Saturday. Regional events, of course, not that far away from home. And really looking forward to those with little Trey. Last year, incredible field, man. She had Alex Davis in there, Gerald Swindle, Lee Livesey fish, Jordan Lee. I'm probably missing several more. But on top of just incredible, the Mark McKeggs of the world and a lot of other just incredible fishermen from North Alabama and South Alabama. And, heck, I think she said 13 states represented next year in the roster. So looking forward to that. And I'm calling Gerald Swindle out right now. G, me and little Trey, you and Ryan and I, better watch your gas. There ain't going to be some sugar in it. Ain't going to be no Startron. We're going to put some sugar in there. It's going to happen. Calling him out right now. Me and little Trey did decide that every tournament's just us versus Gerald. Even if we're 99th and 100, it's just between us and Gerald. I don't care about anybody else. Trey's like, you know, we got to beat Uncle G. And I'm like, that's not going to be easy. Justin Atkins fishing those this year, too. I'm going to get to mix it up with those guys. But those will be so much fun, team tournament style. So we are definitely looking forward to that. All right, I'm going to text our guest right now, see if he's ready. For those of you just listening, I am texting the guest right now, and we will we'll wait on him to fire back. He is one of my favorite folks in the fishing industry, and we're gonna dial him up right now. He has almost $400,000 in earnings over on the MLFLW, FLW side. I got to know this guy through the FLW tour. He's really not been on the pro fishing scene that long. Kind of made a splash in 2016 at the Forestwood Cup on Wheeler, made a top 10 there. Rookie year, he's made the Forestwood Cup every year he's fished professionally or the title event, RIP Forestwood Cup. But he is a consistent angler and has just this fall snuck in, last guy in, to the Bassmaster Elite Series through the Central Opens. My man, Joseph Webster.
What's up, Luke Duncan?
What's up, brother? How are you?
I can't complain one bit.
I bet you can't right now, Mr. Elite Series bound.
Well, I'm a little excited. I just
had that meeting this week.
Yeah, it's pretty good. You know, I mean, it's kind of a dream come true. You know how that is.
And no doubt. Well, I don't know how it is making the Elite Series because I'm not a hammer like you, buddy. But I was just looking through your stats, and like, we've known each other since the first year you fished on tour, and we got to be buddies, and you were a guy I always looked forward to seeing out there and cutting up with. And dude, you are just like this picture of consistency. And it's so crazy because you know your buddies do good, and you see them getting top tens, and you see them, but you've made the championship every year you fished.
Well,
that's insane.
Well, I appreciate that. It's It's just, you know, sometimes it's just meant to be, the good Lord taking care of you. But, you know, I had a couple years that was a little subpar, I guess. But I kind of the year I probably done the best on the tour on FLW part there is, you know, I come out doing really good on the points, and I could do things a little different. But you know, it just it's been good, and I work pretty hard at it. Even though I run another business, I do a lot of reading up on stuff, looking at videos, and all that. And you know, I just kind of believe if you work hard, it'll all work out.
Well, I think that that's something I've always respected about you a ton. Is you do, like you said, you run a business while you're a professional angler. And man, there are so many of these guys that they just fish all the time. And I know you get a lot of time on the water, but you run your own business while you're doing the FLW, while you're out there chasing this, man. And that is, that can be a distraction. But talk about what that's like, because I feel like so many people see pro fishermen and they think, well, man, all that dude does is fishes every day.
Well, you know, I run a spray foam insulation business and run four or five guys, and you know, it does get to be a distraction at times. You know, the phone ringing and people agitated at me a little bit because I don't get back to them as quick as I need to. And you know when you get up before daylight and you fish till dark, you come in and eat, and I do fall short sometime. I don't get back to people within a day or two, and then it turns into the tournament, then it's a week, and they're mad at me and all that. But I do think at times, though, it makes you fish a little bit not safe, because you know that if your guys are working at home, you've got money coming in. So, you know, let's just go for it right here.
Take some chances.
Yes, sir. Guaranteed. So, but you know, it just, you know, we're talking about kind of going to the elites here. Now, it seems to be I don't know. I mean, you're fishing against less guys, but, you know, there's some big names over there, and yeah. I've got my work cut out for me right here now.
Well, so all your success has been pretty much with FLW. That's kind of where you made your bed. You came with the TBF there. You make the cup, first cup, top 10. Just, was it TBF or All-American that you got to the cup? I can't remember.
I come through the TBF. I won the national championship on that, you know, and, you know, I've made four nationals through the TBF, and the one that, you know, I was kind of about ready to give up on it because it's so hard to do. And Dia told me, my wife, when I left, I said, you know, I ain't going to worry about this too much. I'm just going to go up there and get this over with and, you know, get on back. And she said, you watch and see what's about to happen. And sure enough, it just fell right in my lap. It was like it was meant to be.
And that's the living – that turned into the dream package then, correct?
It did, and, you know, that kind of, you know, for a weekend angler, that was a pretty good deal, you know, give you a truck, boat, and pay for your entry fees into the tour, and at that time, it qualified me straight into the cup, and it was at Wheeler, and I knew a little bit about that, so
yeah.
that was pretty good.
Yeah, all of a sudden, it was like, Joseph Webster is everywhere, and then the next year, you were out there mixing it up, man, made the cup again. And you've had two top tens in those cup or title events. You're no stranger to those big events, man. But what came down though for you? I mean, obviously you fished the Opens. You've been close before, but this year I know the schedule just was like a softball for you. You were like, oh boy, you were definitely choking up on the bat when you saw that Central schedule, weren't you?
Well, I did, but what kind of threw me for a loop was. You know, I fished Smith all my life, but then we had that high water, and they throwed it to the fall. And, boy, during practice when it was high, man, it was as good as I could ever imagine.
It was a blast.
I was like, this right here, there ain't no way we're going to have this tournament because everything's too good. But, you know, it may have worked out just like it was supposed to. You know, Pickwick was a little early than what I like it because I like them a little bit off the bank. But on Pickwick, I done some scanning and fishing shallow, and I could catch a few, and I was like, man. But I got on some stuff that was kind of back when I was a kid and stuff, we fished that you couldn't scan. And I pulled up on one spot, and, boy, I just three or four in a row there, and I'm like, well, this is good. And then went down, and rolled across another spot similar, and they was there. And then the first day of the tournament, I'm like, boy, if I could just get one of these four holes, it'll be pretty good. And, man, I rolled down through there, and I had all four of the holes I wanted to fish on that thing. So I caught them every single day of that thing. So it was good.
Yeah, you made a top 10 there at home. I know that was awesome for you in a Bassmaster Open. But then a little shaky at Grand. A little shaky. I'm watching those stand. I had to come home, had an unfortunate emergency I had to get home for. But, man, I was watching the first stand. I'm like, oh, boy. Oh, no. Oh, no. Because you know I was pulling for you. And I'm like, oh, no.
Man, you was thinking, oh, no. I was thinking, oh, no, too. You know? And you know, I kind of felt like a dog when he has to go out in the bathroom and he's drawled up and he takes off and he sits down again. I was like, boy, this right here ain't real good now. I'm all right. And, you know, my sidekick lawyer, he calls him out. And I said, I ain't got no answer for you. He said, well, you better get tightened up tomorrow. So, you know, it just by one point
skinny dang teeth and on the Prosnick double qualification too. I mean, it was tight, man. I couldn't be happier for you though, man. I know it's a dream come true. And so you made the decision. Uh-oh, we lost Joseph Webster right there. Let's see if we can get him back. Please hold.
All right, got you.
Dadgummit, we lost you. But I know it's got to be a dream come true for you, like you said. But where, I mean, like this career with FLW, you mentioned right there, Jeremy Lawyer, you and him, thick as thieves. I think y'all may be twin brothers, really, to be honest, if we went back and looked at some DNA tests, and I'm not sure.
I look a little better than he does, you know.
Well, he bald. Yeah, he's bald, and he's from Missouri. He can't help it. But you guys are thick as thieves, and he's over there still. But you're gonna be on the elites. But I mean, did you have any reservations about leaving FLW? Because great people, obviously the FLW folks. You've been there like I have. Great people, and any reservations leaving, or was it just like, hey, this is Bassmaster. They got the Classic. The Elite Series are going to be on Pickwick next year. I mean, how was that decision for you?
Well, you know, I owe my career to the FLW. You know, they have been really, really good to me. I had no intentions on leaving until I qualified. And, you know, in 19, going into the last tournament, I was in the top five in the points then. I think, mm-hmm. think they took five. And I finished seventh, and, you know, at that point, me and Lawyer talked, me and my wife talked, we all talked, and I was like, if I make it right now, I don't know what the change is going to be. You know, mm-hmm. It was 100-something boats over there, and everybody was going every direction, and I was like, you know, I don't know. I was kind of caught in limbo there, so it might have worked out the way it was supposed to, but, you know, when I done well at Pickwick, and then Smith come along, done well at Smith, and then I thought, you know, I'll make it this time. I'm going to try it. So, you know, I may have to fight my way back through some other channel sometime in life, but I think it's the best decision for my gang. That's for sure.
I think it is too, buddy. And so who will you be running with over there? You got your travel partner, or are you going to be flying solo? What's the plan?
Well, I ain't come up with no plan yet. I'm staying with buddy.
Well, you out then. You don't have a plan.
Well, I don't know. That rascal there, he don't know if he wants to train horses or go fishing. So, you know,
he's pretty good at both, I think.
Yeah, well, fishing he might be, but the horse riding, he better leave that to his daughter.
Buddy so. Gross, of course, all you lowlifers listening, if you missed that, Buddy Gross will be running around with Joseph Webster. That's going to be a dynamic duo on the Elite Series.
Well, maybe it will. You know, my sidekick, we've gone two different directions, but you never know. One of these days, we may end up around each other again. Who knows?
There ain't no doubt about that. So are you going to fish anything else other than the Elites? You going to jump back in some Opens next year, or to heck with them and only focusing on the Elites? What's your plan overall there?
I'm going to fish the Opens. I think it's the Southerns because I'm going to be in Florida anyway. So
okay.
I thought I would start there and just I'm kind of a guy, if I go to these lakes a little early, whether I do a whole lot of fishing or not, or if I got a fishing rod in my hand. It just seems like leading up to the tournament, it just makes me more comfortable with what I'm doing, because if I'm not fishing a tournament, I don't fish for fun a whole lot no more. Business is good and so much going on around my place. It's just I kind of throw it to the side when I come home, and I probably shouldn't.
I understand that, though, man. I've talked about it when I fished FLW. Unfortunately, for me, I think I fish more now than I did when I fished FLW. But I would come home, and you got so much going on because you're gone a lot with that, that I would not fish except for at events or on the way to events, you know. And it was just like, dang, man, it's hard to – you see so many guys going event to event to event to event or fun fishing. Look at a guy like Jacob Wheeler. He never stops. Never stops, yeah, man. Many of these guys are just obsessed.
Look at his success. That probably
That's right.
shows why.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, well, looking at the schedule for next year, I mean, obviously Pickwick's won in June. I'm sure you've circled 90 times on a calendar like, but is there any other tournament on the schedule or lake you're looking forward to going to, or you think, that you like your odds?
Well, the only one that really is kind of makes me nervous is the first one at the St. John's, because I've never been there, and it's kind of up and down every time they go.
Different fishery every single year.
Yes, and then you got, the Harris chain. I bat about 500 there. Either I make a top 20 or 120, so,
that's Florida.
Yeah, that's Florida for me, but Pickwick, if I was to ever do well on one, it could be good, because I think a lot of those fish will, they spawn late up there, and it takes them a little while to work their way to some of these places, and I think some of these fish will be missed by people, because it'll be a weekend with boats everywhere, and, it won't be an easy weekend to fish, and so, I like Pickwick. I think it's going to be good.
Yeah, I think that one's going to be good. I think I think you and a little fella named Justin Atkins will have a lot to say that week. I'm looking forward to that. Of course, Justin, I give him hell because everybody picked him on fantasy fishing because I ran my mouth about it before the Pickwick one this year, and then he just didn't do worth a damn, and so I got to give him crap over it.
Well, it could be, stuff like that, you think you've got so much history there, and sometimes you get lost in it, take Smith this year. I had never, in the open, I ain't never fished a lot of those big trees, and went up there, found them on top water, and I thought, boy, this right here is where it's going to be. And just the last practice day, I thought, I better try them again, and nothing, and kind of figured out they was down in them trees. And if you don't fish the day with these guys instead of history or what you done early in practice, man, they gonna step on you from two or three different ways.
No doubt about it. Me and Trey Swindle were talking about it. I've never had a tournament, I think, that I've ever fished, and it always changes. I think you would agree with that. From the first day you get there to the time, it's depending on the year, time of year, but it definitely changes. But that Smith Lake event, for whatever reason, man, boat pressure from the Smith Lake Bass Fest to us being there, whatever, but from a week before that tournament started to when it started, it changed so much. I've never seen a fishery change like that. And they just got hard to catch because it hadn't been that just crazy hard to get a bite, a keeper bite for me anyways. And a lot of guys I was talking to, but, man, it got tough.
Well, I think what happened there, did it affect the fish? Yes, but I think it affected those stupid herring more than it did the fish.
And great point.
When you drive them down, you're just going to drive the fish down with them. And, I think they got where they wasn't even moving around much. So kind of caused the fish, I think, to get a little lazy. And I think that's what happened because, like I do a week or two before, you ride down the lake, it'd be busting somewhere. That stopped.
Yeah, it went away. I saw it a couple times in official practice, but not much, and then it stopped. But even for me, I was fishing shallow some too, and the fish up on the bank got weird and got, everybody's going in and out of pockets. And everybody that listens to this show gets so sick of me saying this, I have no doubt. But the Opens they're the toughest tournaments. Toyotas and Opens, I believe, you're fishing against pros, you're fishing against great locals, but in the Opens, you've got these just huge fields of over 200 boats, unlimited practice. You earn your stripes in those, man. You get in that top three, top four, top five in points in those. You freaking deserve it. There's no doubt about it.
What happens there is, I think, is everybody practice. They catch a few fish. Well, they blow into your area, and there's three or four boats.
That's right.
And if you don't kind of have a different mindset, and I think that's what beats people in those opens, because, you know, you roll in there with these four or five boats. There's a reason there's four or five boats there. And if I can catch two or three fish with them four or five boats, that's two or three I needed, and that's two or three they didn't get. And then that's I roll on to somewhere else. But, you know, it's that everybody thinks they're going to find a spot on their own. Man, you better back up and just go fishing on a Monday or Tuesday during the week. You're going to do that.
That's exactly right. I always say, in big tournaments, if you are by yourself, you're either blowing it out by 20 pounds or you're in 150th.
Most of the time, it's the other way.
Most of the time. Any good finishes I ever had on the FLW Tour, you were in the middle of 20 people all the time. I mean, it just worked out that way.
And it's hard to win a tournament like that.
It is.
But then again, you know, those $10,000 checks is very nice. Yes. I mean, you know, that was a theory that me and lawyer kept for years. And, you know, if we could leave there with $10,000 checks, no matter where we finished, at the end of the year, we made about $80,000, and we was pretty satisfied with that.
Exactly right. You're going to make 80 grand. You're going to end up in every championship. You know, you do that other than the elites, you're going to make, if you can continue your consistency like you have at FLW, and I have no doubt you will, you're going to be in the Classic every year, man. And I don't know if you know this or not, Joseph, but you can't win the Classic if you're not in it. So if you're in it, man, chance to change your fishing life, your entire life, winning the Bassmaster Classic. And I know for you, a guy that's done this for so long, that's going to be a dream come true one of these days. So, dude, I can't thank you enough for coming on. And you always text me about LBL, and you've always been very kind to me out there on the road, and I miss seeing you, dude. I hope I get to run into you this year somewhere. We saw each other a couple times at the Opens, but those crazy things were so scattered out with the staggered weigh-ins, you feel like you don't see anybody at them and no meeting, you know?
I agree. So, but does this mean that I'm a low-lifer now?
You're officially a low-lifer.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
You're on a short list of low lifers, guests of the Low Budget Live podcast.
That's what I'm talking about. So,
hey, you can rub that in lawyer's face. You can be like, "Yeah, you've won some stuff, but so what?"
Yeah,
I need to get Jeremy on here for sure.
Yeah, oh yeah, he would be a good one. So me and him's had some good times, like everybody. But you know, it's hard in this world too to get somebody that you really trust. Me and him still talk about it every other day, even though we're kind of going different directions right now. But it's become a good friendship, that's for sure.
No doubt about it. He's a dang good one in this old sport. And there's a lot of those, man. You know it like I do. There's a lot of good fellas in this thing that I'm proud to know, to say the very least. Well, dude, next time you're up this way, I know you said you're getting your boat wrap. I want you to sit out in here in the old bar and grill. I'm going to be out of town this week, but we'll dang sure do one here before long.
All right, buddy. I appreciate everything.
Hey, thank you. Tell Miss D I said hello, and y'all have a Merry Christmas.
You too, buddy. Right, thank you. Buddy.
Joseph Webster right there. I mean, he's funny, man. Joseph is a great dude, and just like I said, look at that track record. Incredible consistency that'll definitely carry over into the Elite Series. And just wanted to have him on. He's somebody I think a lot of, man. And he has over the years, like, man, that was a good podcast. Blah, 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 texting me and always keeping up, even though we don't get to see each other that much anymore. All right, that's going to do it for this week. I'm worn out. I'm not going to lie. I'm old, and staying up till midnight just doesn't work for me anymore. It just doesn't. Not at all. And we had us a large time in Columbia, Tennessee, and recording this on a Sunday. Of course, this is the podcast for Monday, December 13th, but I am recording this on a Sunday and fixing to go hang out with the family, go look at some Christmas lights, and get ready for Christmas coming up. Make sure you're getting your wife or significant other. Make sure you get them taken care of on some gifts. It's ticking. It's ticking. I'm warning y'all every week that don't say I didn't warn you. Don't say, Luke, shame on you for not helping us with this. Don't say that because I'll delete your comment. Be sure to hug your mama and your dad. I'm going to take you out with a little Biloxi Blues right now. I will see y'all next week, and I promise you we're going to have a fun one next week. We're going to have a real fun one. If you like music at all, next week's going to be a good one. Here we go. See y'all.
Spanish moss and Civil War ghosts. Well, I'm going to leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter east or west. North, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway, it does not know my name, and I don't care, no, I don't care. Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.